This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Starlink is magic if you depend upon the internet, as I do. And I welcome Bob Zimmerman, who also depends upon the internet, to introduce us to the latest thinking at SpaceX about Starlink satellite launches. Bob, a very good evening to you. SpaceX is committed to this wonderful program of putting all these satellites above me that I can see them swimming across the sky. But the pace of putting satellites up is either picking up or slowing down. The ambition is thousands of satellites. So what is the answer? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Initially, SpaceX had in its application for its full constellation of 30,000 Starlink satellites. It said that it would use its Starship Super Heavy to launch the bulk of them, that once that was operational, it would take over the full job and the Falcon 9 rocket that they've been using up to now would be put aside. This week that SpaceX has reconsidered this, and in a letter to the FCC, it revealed that it's revised its plans for launching this second generation of Starlink satellites at full constellation of 30,000. They got about 2,500 operational right now in orbit, but they were going to launch the bulk of the 30,000 constellation using Starship, because it's big. It can haul more than like the 50 or so satellites that a Falcon 9 launches. They've now decided that they're going to keep using the Falcon 9 as well as Starship rockets. They're going to use them as a combination, a mix, to get them up into orbit. And I come up with three possible reasons why SpaceX has made this announcement. First, in the last year, this year, SpaceX has been launching Starlink satellites like clockwork with the Falcon 9. I mean, really like clockwork. They've already launched this year alone in a little over half the year, about 2,500 satellites, something like that, because they put up about 50 at a time, a little less, a little more. But they're doing it on almost a weekly or even more than once a week basis. And so the company might be looking at the Falcon 9 as it's so robust right now, and it's reusing 70% of the rocket, and so therefore it's very cheap to launch, that there's no reason why they can't keep using it. So that's one possibility. The other possibility has to do with Starship. It could very well be that delays in the development of Starship has forced SpaceX to reconsider the Falcon 9. The FCC application, when approved, is going to require the company to launch half its constellations by a certain time period. Previously, that was 24. I think that date's probably been delayed somewhat. But either way, they got to get 15,000 satellites up by a certain date. And so if Starship is delayed because of technical problems, that might be the case. They want to give themselves some margin. The Falcon 9 could possibly pick up the slack. There's another consideration that might delay Starship, which we've talked about now endlessly, is the federal bureaucracy working very hard to shut it down. It has limited the number of launches that Starship can do out of Boca Chica already. And at Kennedy, they can launch them, but they can't launch them in every inclination, in every orbit they want. And plus the bureaucracy there has suddenly come along and said, well, wait a minute, we're going to rethink your Starship operations there. And so there might be problems there as well. So this is another reason I think the Falcon 9 is being reconsidered for Starlink, John.
Starship wins a satellite contract. What kind of satellite, Bob?
Starship, you know, not, I just said, you know, maybe it's delayed, but in the meantime, it's already got four signed contracts, and the most recent contract was the first communication satellite customer. A Japanese communication company called Sky Perfect JSAT has a constellation already up to 16 satellites. It has signed a contract with SpaceX to do a launch in 24 using Starship to put its satellite into orbit. This is the fourth customer that Starship already has and hasn't even launched into orbit yet. The billionaire Yuzaku Maezawa, he signed a deal in 18 to take a flight around the moon with some artists using Starship. NASA's chosen Starship to be its lander, man lander on the moon. And billionaire Jared Isaacman, who's already flown in space on a Dragon capsule, he's got a three-launch deal with SpaceX. The first two launches are on Dragon capsules, but the third will be a manned mission on Starship as well. So this is a rocket that's not even operational yet, but four people have signed contracts to use it, John.
Bob, we go to Firefly, which is a great story, and you're talking about an Alpha rocket. Has that flown before?
Yes and no. Firefly, of course, is one of the startups that wants to enter the small sat rocket business. That's now only operational companies are Virgin Orbit and Rocket Lab. Firefly wants to do this. Last September, they attempted to launch their Alpha rocket for the first time, and the launch was a failure when one of its first stage engines shut down prematurely. Well, they've now done a full dress rehearsal countdown of the Alpha rocket after fixing some issues, and that was a success, and they've now scheduled a second launch attempt for September 11th this year. They are one of three different small sat rocket companies that are all aiming to get their first launch off, a successful orbital launch off this year. The other one is ABL, and another one is Relativity. All three say they've got launches scheduled before the end of the year. And so that means the industry continues to grow, even if companies disappear periodically.
And make certain this would be Alpha's first successful launch? Is that
once again, the first launch failed, so they're going to try to make their second orbital attempt on September 11th. Obviously, if it succeeds, it will be the first, but it hasn't launched yet, so we don't know, John.
I understand. I like the risk built in. Everybody's trying to get into orbit. Now we go to NASA. Yeah. And this is a really cool drawing you provide, Bob. What is the Orbital Reef Space Station?
It's one of the four private commercial space stations that companies are building to replace the ISS, as well as to do their own financial profit in space. NASA has contracts with three of these companies. Orbital Reef is one of them. And Orbital Reef is made up of a partnership of space companies, with the lead partners being Blue Origin and Sierra Space. And they had a press release this week where they announced that NASA has approved the design of the Orbital Reef Space Station, which I found a little puzzling because they had almost an identical announcement in April where they said NASA has approved the design of the Orbital Reef Space Station. And all in all, they first announced this space station in October of 21, and now almost a year later, NASA has finally given approval to the design, it appears, which means they now can start designing it, actually. This is a rough design. NASA is slowing things down considerably. Since Blue Origin is involved with this, I'm not surprised. Things are moving slowly. But it is one of four private space stations that are being planned right now. And being a Blue Origin-related company, Jeff Bezos, despite his big money, obviously doesn't want to spend a dime of his own. So he's totally at the mercy of NASA and his NASA contract to proceed, rather than doing R&D and spending the money and getting the thing built and launched and making money from others.
So this is, let me understand, this is Blue Origin working with Sierra Space.
Yeah, they have it's a partnership deal. There's more companies. Boeing's involved as well, and several lesser known companies like Redwire, which does 3D manufacturing in orbit. And they've teamed up to build this. They're each going to contribute components. Sierra Space is building modules, but also it provides the Dream Chaser cargo and hopefully manned vessel up and down. Boeing's Starliner would also provide transportation. And Blue Origin is, of course, claiming it'll build the modules in orbit. We'll see. And it also has its New Glenn rocket eventually someday to launch the modules. So we'll see.
Let me be reminded, Dream Chaser, has it been cleared for cargo to ISS, or is it still in development?
They're still building it. The very first Dream Chaser vessel is taking forever to build. Sierra Space is a partnership with Blue Origin, might be an appropriate partnership because they're both operating at extremely glacial pace. We have yet to see a test flight of that first Dream Chaser cargo vessel. It supposedly is now under assembly at Sierra Space's facility, and their last few images we've got say it's being put together. So we are waiting for that first test flight of this thing, but it hasn't happened
so
yet.
So they
have to do that, and then they have to design, upgrade it to do manned flights as well.
So Orbital Reef will be a private space station then, entirely private.
It's Yes, but NASA is going to be funding a great deal of it for its own purposes, or at least NASA is going to choose the space station it wishes to fund. It has given design contracts to three different space stations. All three are private. All three will be privately owned. Just like, you know, NASA is the customer. It doesn't build things anymore. It's hiring these companies to build it, and NASA will then use it for its own research.
NASA has ambitions for the Artemis manned missions on the surface of the moon. What am I looking at, Bob? It's a chart of the moon's surface.
NASA, you know, on August 29th, they're going to do their first launch attempt and lunar mission unmanned of the Orion capsule on their SLS rocket. That's less than now a week away. Last week, NASA, as part of their PR push for this launch, they released a map showing their 13 candidate landing zones for the first human manned mission of the Artemis program that they now say will launch in 26. I don't believe that. These candidate landing sites are all at the South Pole. Interestingly enough, three of them have also been chosen by the Chinese for their Chang'e 7 unmanned probe. So we have competition for these sites. It's no surprise the Chinese picked the same site since they're using our images on Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter to kind of figure out where to go. But so we now have a rough idea of the candidate landing sites for the Artemis landing on the third SLS mission. I will say that there will be unmanned landers coming down on some of these sites in the coming years and looking at them before the manned mission goes. And so we'll have scouting missions at some of these sites beforehand, John.
This, from the image you provide, Bob, this looks like rough country. It doesn't look like anything comparable to the landing zones they chose for the Apollo mission. Or is this what it would look like from this distance? I can't tell.
No, this is, you are 100% correct, John. This is the South Pole of the moon is extremely rugged territory. It's crater upon crater upon a crater overlapping each other. There are no really large flat spots. There are flatter areas, but those areas are less interesting because they're farther from the craters. The craters are the ones that have the permanently shadowed areas at the base, and they want to get close to the crater edge so that they can maybe go down and look at to see if there's ice down there. And so what we've got here is, yes, a very rugged country. It does require precision landing. I don't see that as a problem, but that's definitely a challenge.
And now an anomaly for Bob Zimmerman. He's going to report on a submarine. Bob, this is weird. It looks like some kind of, I don't know, Hardy Boys or Buck Rogers event. What am I looking at?
Bond. Think of 007 and Bond, John. That's what this really is. But there's a company called Highland Systems, which was founded in the Ukraine. That's important. It is now based both in the UK, United Kingdom, and in the United Arab Emirates. And they have designed an armored Manta Ray-shaped small submarine that can carry 10 crew passengers and a pilot. It's designed, they say, for both commercial as well as military uses, though all their drawings clearly appear to be military in use. It's armored also. This is not mere, so I have a schematic of it on my website, which shows torpedoes in the schematic, by the way. I didn't put that there. They are building one already. They've got the submarine shell already under construction. I theorize that the financing for this is probably coming from the Ukraine, and I fully expect this thing to show up in some kind of reconnaissance or military action, undercover sabotage mission in the Crimea against Russian assets down the road, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring surface of Mars. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.